My name is Alana, and you are listening to Give a Damn, a podcast that intentionally and mindfully explores life's common challenges in order to break down the barriers between us and become the best version of yourself. Friends, welcome back to the Give a Damn podcast. My name is Alana Weinroth. So happy to be here with you guys today. I say that every time because I'm literally so happy to be here with you guys today. This just brings me so much joy. I hope you're having a great day today so far. You know the drill. I will drill it into your head until you could recite this yourself. Please, you guys, rate, review, subscribe, and share this with your friends. It helps the algorithm. I do this for you. I do this for me. I do this for our community because I give a damn. Without further ado, so many great guest speakers that I'm literally bringing someone back from season one because I'm obsessed with her. She is my sister. We actually look a lot alike. If you're watching the video, we're dying because we came on looking identical twins. But I just believe in so much of what she's doing that I had to bring her back on again for something new. So if you listen to season one, you know San Human. But if you do not and you haven't, listen to the episode after this one. Sam is a fellow wellness warrior. She's an integrative health coach and the founder of Humanly Well. Through Humanly Well, she helped high performers master their health and habits so they can stop worrying about diets and spend more time leveling up their lives. She works with organizations to optimize employee health and productivity through workshop facilitation and one-on-one coaching. Sam has also launched nationwide corporate wellness programs at LinkedIn, and she's partnered with individuals and organizations including Adobe, Kellogg School of Management, Spotify, is this SAP, SAP? Sure. As well as global women's conferences. She's recently moved to Florida with her husband and one-year-old pup, Bodie. Sam, welcome back to the Give a Damn podcast.
It is so good to be back. I love the sister introduction. We could have just, that's it right there. We're soul sisters. There it is.
I'd like to admit to everyone, been talking for 30 minutes before we even recorded this episode because we're obsessed with each other.
Pretty much how this works.
Well, thanks for agreeing to come back. I mostly because you and I partner, we help each other, right? That's what you got to do. You guys like help your sisters out. Like we have to support one another, not compete. Sam and I are convinced we will share a stage together one day. We're not convinced, we know.
It's going to happen.
But you recently launched something that is so applicable to everyone's lives, which is called Habit Lab. And this is like so uniquely you. I've never heard of anyone doing this before. We all know that habits are hard to break. And also you can form new habits. And I think going into a new year after a crazy fucking year, we all need to really lean into creating new healthy habits for ourselves. So Sam, tell us a little bit about Habit Lab and how you came to form this.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head, right? We have New Year's resolutions around the corner that has a lot of us rethinking this new year, especially after the year that 2020 has been. And I joke that we joke now because we're almost out of it, but, and to put it lightly, 2020 has been a shit storm for all of us. And for some, it's smoother than others. And for those of us here in Florida, I can make this joke, it's a category 5, right? New Florida resident, I can make this joke now, I get it. But if 2020 has taught us anything, it's that our environment is constantly changing, our circumstances, everything around us.
Yeah.
And what we know are that our habits and routines are based on that sense of consistency. And it just feels like that rug has been ripped out from underneath us. And so many of us are sitting here like, well, the gym is closed, or I can't go to the grocery store, or whatever the limitations are. And in starting Habit Lab, I actually look back and realize it came to be out of one of my very first corporate wellness workshops that I was facilitating. And it was for an investment firm in Chicago to a group of founders. And at the very end, I'm talking about stress and sleep and all of these fabulous tips to manage these two areas. And we get to the end, and one of the members in the audience is a CEO. She raises her hand and she asks me, I get this. I'm pretty familiar with a lot of these tips. So if I know this, why can't I stick to it? And that was kind of us. Right? And I sat there thinking, like, that's it. That's the trick. You don't need to know. We all know what we should be doing.
Yeah.
We don't need to be told, you know, to put our phones down before bed or to eat more green veggies or to drink more water. We know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So why can't we change it?
Yeah.
And everything changed then and there for me. And I pivoted to realize, like, behavior change and the science behind it is really what we need to focus more on. And that's what prompted me to create and design Habit Lab. And the idea is it is a space for us to dive in, uncover some of these patterns and some of the beliefs we've held true. How can we manage and up-level our physical environment, but also our mental environment? And it was also born in part with one of my mentors. She's introduced me to the world of positive psychology, Dr. Klagsburn. And she is a psychologist as well as a professor in the Boston area. And positive psychology and the way it's framed has shown me that habits are not about motivation and willpower and discipline. Because we think we know that that's what it's about, but it's actually way more about self-compassion. And like you say, giving a damn about your damn self. That's habits.
Yeah. That's so interesting, Sam. I love that because I think that we're so hard on ourselves when we can't keep them. Like you said, it's, and then you're like, well, I'm not disciplined enough. I don't, you know, I'm not as good as this person who might have healthy habits in their lives and I can't seem to figure it out. So I love that because like you're already just like have some compassion on yourself. Like you just need the right tools. But the first thing we do is turn to limiting beliefs and be like, well, I'm just not good enough. I'm not strong enough. And it's like, no, of course you are. We just need somebody like you to help us. So right. tell us about that. You said mental, physical. So tell us a little bit about like how you teach that, sort of the framework of Habit Lab.
Right. So it comes back to that first comment of like, if I already know it, why can't I do it? And it's unpacking that to realize if knowledge is half the battle, what is the other half? And the other half is our environment. And so when I say our mental environment, I really mean our thoughts, our beliefs, right? The emotions we're experiencing or the feelings. And then in the physical environment, this is the space around us, our community, our home setup. For many right now, think of like we're working from home. What does that desk setup look like? It might be in the kitchen, which may be contributing to some new behaviors and new habits that aren't so supportive.
Interesting. Yeah.
And so if we break it down and look at it in those two facets, we can actually take a more holistic, right? Integrative is in the title, a more holistic or a more integrative approach to a habit. And so there's tons of books and tons of strategies, thousands that have been studied. And at the end of the day, it is almost a series of trial and error of like figuring out what works for you. And having read the books and done the research, like I've tried a lot of them. I've had clients try a lot of them and I'm not about to sit here and tell you like it's across the board. Everything works for everyone, yep. But it's about finding really what works for you. And so the idea is, again, we're just reestablishing, we're strengthening that sense of awareness to be more present, but also that agency, that sense of power we have.
Yeah.
Because again, if 2020 is wiping that out and our circumstances or our environment is constantly changing, what can we be more empowered to have control over? And that is both the mental and the physical side.
And that's so interesting, Sam, because I think like when you and I talked in our first one, you were like, when I was at an office, right? You had this habit of going over and getting these peanut butters out of the jar. And like, sorry, I don't mean to bring it up.
No, it's all out. And it's rightfully so because those peanut M&Ms got me every time and they still do, but maybe it's a perk of not being in the office.
No, but same, like that's a habit we all have. Like at my work, at my office, like there were always treats out. Someone would bring Porto's, which if you live in LA, Porto's is like this crazy, amazing bakery. And there'd be like things I just would never even eat. But then I'd sit there, these like fried meatballs. And I was like, oh, well, I should definitely try that because it's smelling up the office. So we had like all these triggers, right? Like a fried meatball, disgusting. So I just.
That's me every time. Say no more.
Anyway, so like there were so many triggers at the office that I think that when we all started working from home, we were like, cool, we're set up for success.
Yeah.
And we were for like a little bit. And then you just build them up again in a new space. So it's really interesting to hear, like, even if you switch environment, like how do you set yourself up always? Like you almost have to like re-sort of set some structure in place with every new environment you change to, even though I still believe I think we're set up better at home still than in the office, right? Because you have like access to all your healthier foods. So I feel like this is, you're setting yourself up for a little bit more success because you have like your grocery, as long as you do like grocery shop and have your healthy snacks and stuff.
Yeah. And you brought up something so interesting there too, that comes up a lot with clients. And it's that, why is it like when I am in a new environment, let's say like working from a coffee shop, for example, which yeah. I know we haven't been able to do in a while, or maybe it's from your in-laws dining room table. Like for some reason, that new environment, all of a sudden you feel way more productive, way more energized, way more focused. And it's like, what is the trick there in some cases?
Yeah.
And one, it's taking note of like, what is the difference between here and what I'm normally doing? And if it's working at my kitchen, for example. And two, all of the habits that you established in that old environment, like the fridge drive-bys, which I am very guilty of. Thanks. It's just an inventory check. We're just seeing
what's
going on. You know, do I need to place another order at a grocery store? I don't know. What leftovers do we have in there? It's just a check. But we're so prone to doing that. But if we're in this new environment, all of a sudden we don't have those little tendencies to lean on.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
Mixing up the environment is always a good tactic there. But then it's also about like uncovering what's the real underlying, like, why am I going for the fridge drive-bys?
Right.
What's that piece?
Right. Okay. So now we need to get into the mental, because we know the physical is a little bit right now. It's a little out of our control, right? We're kind of like stuck where we are. We got to make do. So maybe we like really tackle into the mental.
Yeah. I think you brought something up there that I like too. We're not actually completely out of control when it comes to the physical environment.
Okay, tell me.
Yeah, well, think about your home. You're in full control of determining the groceries you have, even how your fridge is stocked. Do you have all of the healthy foods or the foods that make you feel better closer towards the front? And maybe the foods that kind of weigh you down or don't make you feel so good closer towards the back? It seems so simple. I am telling you, it's marketing 101. Think about the grocery store when you walk in there. The most expensive item is the most easily accessible, most obvious, most beautiful label probably too. Same rules apply here in your pantries, in your kitchen, in your home.
Yeah.
Making it obvious is like one of the very first steps that we can still control our physical environment.
Look at this. We're debunking my limiting beliefs.
I love this. Look, all in one, right? But these are also myths about habits. Like we think it requires some lifestyle overhaul. We think, oh, it takes 21 days to build a habit. I'm just gonna call BS on that real quick to let you know. The average amount of time it takes to build a habit, every research on here has a varying number. It could be 20 to 60 to 90 to even beyond. It depends on the person and it depends on the habit.
Okay.
Average, let's say 60 to 90 days. But even then, it's still somewhat of a gross estimate because it depends on so many variables. So debunk that myth real quick.
Okay.
The other one is like the motivation and the discipline. You already know.
Yeah.
The idea is like, well, if I know the benefits, I'm not going to lay in my bed and scroll on social media endlessly and go to bed 3 hours later than I originally planned.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But if I all of a sudden...
My principals last night, so called me.
Oh, okay. On that, we're all guilty of it. That's like, this is like a safe space, right? We got to be vulnerable. It's quarantine. But if I don't put my phone next to my bed and I put the book that I'd rather be reading.
Right. So you just control your physical environment. Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I love this. Okay, so debunk one of my...
I would love that, yes. Since you called out my peanut M&M addiction, it's only fair that I return the favor.
I told you I ate fried meatballs from Porto's. Like, disgusting. And it's beef. I don't even eat beef. But, like, when it's ground up and it's in the fried ball, it feels less bad than eating a steak, which is disgusting.
Yeah, that's a conversation on the nutrition side of health coaching I'm happy to have on another time.
So, I also had ice cream last night, but it was my cheat night. So, anyways, we won't get into that.
We'll come back for another episode on nutrition and the concepts of diets and how they're a 98% failure rate. But that's okay. Besides the point, let's go on the habit that we want to burst or break.
So, to give everybody an example of how you work with your clients to break a habit, we decided that I'll give you one of mine, and then you can talk through how you would break this habit for me. So my habit,
I'm not breaking the habit.
Oh, I'm breaking the habit.
You're the one. We're reestablishing your sense of power, your sense of agency.
Okay.
I might be sharing a few strategies, but this is you that gets to do the work.
Okay. All right. So, okay. You're right. See?
How we say it, but that's part of the mental. This is why mental, it does become like training our brain. Right? It's the same way we go to the gym to improve our physical fitness. Think of it like mental fitness.
Okay.
And there are exercises that we can do to boost mental fitness. And this is like a gratitude journal. This is, or journaling in general. This is thinking about ways to inspire joy throughout your day. Having a list of 5 things that bring you joy in a really easy and obvious place.
Yeah.
So that your brain, when it gets to that fork in the road of choosing maybe a not so supportive thought, can catch that, and before making that turn or just like on autopilot blindly going that way, you can catch yourself and be more intentional with that decision
or
with that thought. Mental fitness, that's all we're doing. We're strengthening, we're building that muscle.
And you and I know about physical fitness, so
that's all we're doing. We're just finding these little catches where it's little moments throughout the day that we can choose that different path or say that differently or think about that experience differently. That's in a more supportive and empowering way.
Okay. I love that. Okay.
Little things. Baby
all right.
I'm back to your habit.
My habit is that I tend to eat out of habit, not because I'm hungry. So I'm a very scheduled person. So I typically like will eat breakfast at a certain time, and then I have a snack, and then I eat lunch at a certain time, and then I have a snack, and then I have dinner. However, I have found that I will snack even if I don't really want the snack, but I go for it anyway. Or dinner will come, and a lot of times because I've already snacked so much, and I would like to share that I eat very clean Monday through Friday. So it's like healthy snacks and clean eating. But regardless, like I'll get to dinner sometimes and be like, not really that hungry, but yet I will still make the planned thing and eat it all and eat past where I am full. So that's my habit.
You are so not alone in that habit.
Thank you.
There's so many of us. I think they call it the quarantine 15 has been a very real thing. And again, when we think about the environment, the access, that fridge drive-by I was telling you about. Mm-hmm. So one of the first places that we start with this, and it could be a variety of variables, right? So I don't want you to think like, we're going to solve this right now.
Right.
Because it's not the idea. The idea is whatever the habit is, we take baby steps and we break it down. Even if it seems like stopping a snack feels small, there's actually probably hundreds of baby steps that we could take before then that would contribute or lead up to that.
Okay.
To fully breaking that habit, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a few things to unpack, like I mentioned with the variables, one of which, again, this is the nutrition side of me, could be the blood sugar and the hormone balance, where maybe you're not noticing that you're hungry and it could be a sugar craving, or it could be because you didn't get enough protein, healthy fat, and fiber in one of your meals earlier in the day. So your blood sugar might be experiencing some roller coasters, which could contribute to more snacking or more, not just sugar, but also like carbohydrate craving for that quick energy.
Yeah.
But on the habit side of things, I already, the peanut M&M thing, which I still have the visual, like I literally was going in that office or into that snack room every day at 2:30, like clockwork. And it started with like one or two. And then it was like 4 to 6. And then all of a sudden it was like one of those tubes where I could like stick my whole head under and just like empty the tube into my mouth, which is still a fantasy that at some point we'll make happen, but maybe not. But the idea was unpacking this on that mental environment piece. Because if I couldn't change my physical environment in terms of the peanut M&Ms were always going to be there. Mm-hmm. Let's think about the mental environment and then maybe use that to find some physical environment pieces. So in the mental environment, one of the popular patterns to break down habits is to realize that your thoughts are triggering your emotions, mm-hmm. and those emotions are triggering your actions. So if the action is snacking,
yeah,
going to the kitchen,
yeah,
what is the emotion you're feeling right before you're going in there?
Typically, I'm feeling two things. I'm either feeling anxious at work. I anxiously eat often. I'll be like on a call eating, which is disgusting. No one wants to hear it, but for some reason I can't not. So that's really embarrassing, but it's like, I'll anxiously eat. I'm not hungry. I'm not that hungry. Like I literally had a call last week and I had just made my lunch and I wasn't even that starving and I forgot I had a call and like, I should have just waited, right? I could wait 30 minutes and eat my lunch, but instead I ate it while I talked to her. And knowing all the while, I'm not even that hungry, but it's here and I see it and then whatever. And now I'm anxious because I'm on this stressful call. So I'm eating while I'm talking to her. The other thing could be is boredom. Like this 2-3 o'clock point, or it's like, I'm tired. I'm like very detached from my work. That's sort of one, cause I wake up so early. That's when I sort of like crash. Mm-hmm. It's not quite dinner yet, but I'm feeling a bit over my day. Mm-hmm. So instead of working, instead of going for a walk or something, which would be easy to do with my dog, I'll snack because it like breaks up my day. Mm-hmm.
So I want to come back to the emotion. Two you listed that stood out, the anxiousness, as well as potentially boredom.
Yeah.
And this is where we even take it one step back again to think about the thoughts. And okay. What are the exact thoughts? And this is where you may not have the answer right now.
Yeah.
And this is where I would challenge you to figure out mindful strategies that you can implement throughout the day where you can become really aware. And we've got a few exercises in Habit Lab that we talk through. For example, one of them is like this morning routine observation where we spend 5 minutes writing down step by step every micro action we take from the minute we turn off our alarm to putting on deodorant, brushing our teeth, washing our face, putting on lotion and makeup, walking into the kitchen, pressing the button to turn on the coffee, all the way to like when we sit down to start our day with work.
Yeah.
Using that to become really aware, because there are so many things we're doing on autopilot, we're not even realizing. Mm-hmm. And so there might be some thoughts in there that we're not fully catching. But the anxiety and the boredom piece, I see very often, not only in my clients, I see it in myself, I see it in my partner. It's so common and it's so easy. So now that we've been able to unpack, and again, as you're thinking about your thoughts, real meta, thinking about like the experiences that you're having internally, mm-hmm. what would be an action, and you've already listed this, but what would be an action that would be maybe more supportive in that time?
Take a walk.
Okay.
Hopefully drink some water.
Okay. What else?
What else could I do besides snack when I'm anxious? Take deep breaths, like do some breath.
A yoga teacher saying to take deep breaths? Oh my gosh. The worst. The internet.
I'm like, oh yeah, breath work. What I tell everyone to do. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, you're right. This is good. This feels so good.
What else can you do? Play a song. Like, I mean, I'm a big fan of dance parties.
I love a dance party.
Out of Your Mind, Little John still gets me every time. I can't. Oh. I think I shared that on the last call too, and it has changed for me since. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm
but you know this.
Like, if I put on a Beyonce song, I'm gonna go like and get that energy back up. This already feels great.
Okay, but here's the next piece, right? Now we know. And what I always encourage is like write this list down.
Okay.
Make it really visible. Put it on a post-it. Make it so obvious. And if you're comfortable, take it one step further. Tell your partner, your roommate, your friend, your mom what that list is.
Yeah.
Because typically what we do is we come in the room venting, or we call our moms while we're on a walk and we're going on about something, or we're frustrated about something. It's like they can remind us of the 5 or 6 joy triggers.
Yeah.
That we can then leverage in that time. So there's an accountability piece in there too, which is helpful. But when it comes down to these habits, there's a few strategies that we can implement, because now you know what would be more supportive in that time. We're going to work on the mental environment and unpack those thoughts. That's a lot longer than what we're going to do right now. But something, again, journaling and reflection exercises are really powerful to help you tap into that. But on the physical side, the idea is we want to make whatever that almost replacement is as easy, as obvious, as approachable as possible. Think about that most expensive item on the grocery shelf.
Yep.
So when it comes to breath work, if let's say it is to pause, what would that breath work piece look like for you?
I would probably remove myself from wherever I'm working from. So I'm not in my desk chair, or, you know, sometimes I work from my house, sometimes I work from my partner's house, which is really helpful to mix it up for me. But regardless of where I am, removing myself from that space, kind of in like in a chair that I'm in now, and like planting my feet on the ground, putting my palms on top of my legs and closing my eyes and breathing in for 4, hold it for 4, breath out for 4. That really helps me a lot.
What you also described was a sensory activation. You've changed your environment, so you're changing your scenery or your sight. Physically, that touch, you're changing that sensation by noticing your feet on the ground, by noticing your hands on your thighs. Mm-hmm. By changing the location, you might also be tapping into changing what you're hearing or maybe what you're smelling.
Yeah.
And when we tap into those senses, that's a really powerful way to become more mindful. I know on the last episode we did, we talked about that 4-step mindfulness activation, right? So go listen to that one because it's in there. But yes. You just listed an example of one of those to slip into a more mindful reframe or a mindful shift, if you will. Yeah. Because again, we're going from running on autopilot to catching ourselves and being able to make that pivot. Yeah. And so if breath work is one of those joy triggers, what's something that you can use, a few strategies here, one of which is called habit stacking. And the idea is you take something you're already doing, so already around that afternoon slump period when you want to go up and grab the snack. Think about one small activity you're already doing that we can use that almost like an environmental cue.
Okay. Yeah.
And it sounds like something that's already in there is there's a time frame. There's a time that you go and get that snack. Mm-hmm. What is the time?
Usually around 2 o'clock.
Around 2 o'clock?
Which is funny because sometimes I'll eat lunch at noon and sometimes I'll eat lunch at 1. So like that 2 o'clock comes and I'm like, you can't be hungry. You ate an hour ago. Like, you know what I mean? And
I do. Yes. I totally do.
No matter what time I eat lunch, it's like, Alana, there's no way you're hungry right now. Mm-hmm. So yeah, sorry. Mm-hmm.
No, you're spot on. So thinking about a trigger in the environment that you can use, and then the idea is we're stacking breath work on top of it.
Yes. Okay.
What's something that always comes at 2 p.m., whether it's this could be a trigger you set up for yourself or something that's already in there. But think about what you're doing in that time frame. Think really, really small actions.
God, I don't know. I don't know. Do people want to hear my process here? This is so crazy.
This is how we get into it. Yeah. This is where behavior change comes. Yeah. It comes in small, small steps. Like the step you think you have in mind, break it down 10 times smaller and then 10 times again. And that's where you start to see the change happen. Okay. So often we think like, oh, I'm just going to stop mindlessly snacking because now I know I need to go and breathe for 4 minutes.
Yeah.
Now we're back to square one. We know what we should be doing, but we haven't changed the mental or physical environment. Yeah. We're starting to realize our thoughts, but this is where we use habit strategies. So we can use stacking. We stack breath on top of something we already do. And maybe there's a reminder in your calendar every day at 2.
Yes.
So to step away. And that's something you could put in a reminder in your calendar. For some reason, in building self-integrity and that self-trust, we always were more commonly to miss a meeting we've scheduled with ourselves. But if you've put someone else on there, why do we always show up like on time, ready to go? When it's with ourselves, it's like, no, I'll get to it later. So maybe you include like someone on there that you know you want to help hold you accountable, like an accountability partner in some way. Now, another one that's my absolute favorite that I think could apply here is the rule of twos or the 2 minute trick. The concept here is not to dive in and think, I'm gonna sit there and breathe for 5, 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Just 2.
Yes.
Maybe it's 2 of the box breaths. Maybe it's just for 2 minutes. We can do anything for 2 minutes, unless it's a plank. A plank for 2 minutes is hard.
That's a very long plank.
That's a long plank. Yeah. But anything else, 2 minutes feels right.
Yeah.
And rule of twos can be applied if you're trying to read more. 2 pages.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. Like
2 lines.
Yeah. 2 things on your gratitude list.
Look at that. Okay, so how can we apply the rule of twos here?
Okay, so here's going to be my thing.
Yeah.
At 2:30.
Look at that. Rule of twos coming into play already.
It already comes. It's perfect for me. In fact, it's serendipitous. I think I need to just walk away. I think walking away for 2 minutes, honestly, would be helpful for me. And those 2 minutes need to be, I don't even want to like commit to just like breath work. Like if I feel like dancing, maybe it's listening to a song for 2 minutes and dancing. Like I just need to have 2 minutes to check in with myself to actually see what I want to be doing. And 2 minutes feels so doable. That's one song.
Mm-hmm.
That's 2 minutes of breath. Maybe it's like 2 minutes of playing with my dog. She's also a trigger for me. Like around that time, I start feeling bad that I haven't paid attention to her all day, you know? And so maybe it's just like 2 minutes being super intentional and playing with my pup, you know? So yeah. Can I have options like that? Am I allowed to have a couple things?
You can absolutely have options. The idea is, again, you have that list visible because the idea is we don't want to create any sort of decision-making.
Right.
It could become a barrier because now you can't decide, do I listen to a song? Do I walk my dog? Do I do 2 minutes of stretching? Do I do 2 minutes of breath work? It's like you have just the one.
Okay.
And this is
write it down on my
big, yes, that's what I love. This is the big kind of obstacle for so many of these like high achievers that I'm working with. They come in and they're thinking like, oh, I can tackle like 6 habits in one with combining the strategy of stacking it on top of something I already do every day. With the 2 minute trick, with this accountability reminder, with the list of joy triggers. And the idea is, yeah, we're looking to combine all of these strategies because you have to find what works for you.
Yeah.
But all of the behavior research, behavior change science tells us, focus on just one at a time.
Okay.
So this is where I challenge you again here. Pick just one.
I think it's going to be the song. Because you know what? Sometimes breath work is done, like I'm already in my head all day. So now that I'm thinking about it, we're breaking it down. Like I need to get out of my head.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes like sitting still, like I need to get up and I need to do something different because we're sitting so much. But I don't want it to be like walking my dog. Like I do, I feel like I have to do like a certain amount of times a day. So that's like, I'm going to put on a fun song and dance for 2 minutes.
I love that.
Thank you.
It's such a good call. I think we get to write that down. There's an accountability component. Right. And again, recapping some of the strategies we talked about, it's habit stacking, which is the idea you're taking something you already do every day and you're building that dance in on top of something. Another version of this, I have one of my clients who we're working on getting her in the gym more. And she has a gym in her home. But the idea was the door was closed and she wasn't, at the end of the day, she was stretched really thin, as many are, but had like not made time to step into the gym. So we've applied some of these rules by just opening the door to make it visible, right? So how can you make this visible? Maybe it's like writing down the name of the song and putting that on the post-it somewhere.
Okay.
Because again, we're removing any decision out of this. It's just so obvious and so easy. So we made it obvious and easy by writing down the name of the song or by opening the gym door. We use the 2-minute trick to just do the dance or listen to the song for 2 minutes. The first step or the second step with her to just walk in the gym for 2 minutes. Just be in there. Yeah. 2 minutes. That's it. Set the alarm for 2 minutes and then step out.
I love this. It feels so doable when you break it down like this.
Yeah, like, that's the idea.
Yeah. This making it easy on ourselves and setting ourselves up for success. Sam, this is so good. I'm hoping people, as you're listening, you guys, like, we're talking through my thing just to give you an example of how she does this, but like, start applying this to you. Like if this is your thing too, maybe do this with me and tell me how it goes. I'm going to set an alarm on my phone for 2 o'clock every day. And it's going to say, get up and dance. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do it as soon as we're done. And that's my very easy, like, I always have my phone on me. I can't miss it. I'm going to tell my partner so that he's not like, what the hell is going on? Why are you blasting music and dancing?
That calendar invite. I'll join you.
Okay, perfect. Okay, good. That's my, you're my accountability buddy. So yeah, exactly. You guys, like, do this. This is so fun. This, I honestly feel like so much lighter from when you asked me my habit where I was like, ugh, to now I'm like, oh, I'm so excited about my dance parties with Sam every day.
We got there.
You're a genius. Y'all need to, honestly, I think that this episode, we're recording this in December still. This will probably come out in January 2021 or so, whenever you're listening to this and future selves. If you want to make a commitment to yourselves, you guys, like, try, like, reach out to Sam. This is so good. There's nothing like this out here. And you're just so, what I love about you is you're so good about making it easy. Like, I tend to hold myself to, like, these impossible standards. Like, if I'm going to do something, then I do it to the most extreme and then I feel overwhelmed or I don't do it. So I love the way you make it doable for people.
I love that you highlighted that too, Alana, because we so often, we're an all or nothing just breed. We are all or nothing people. You and I bond over this countless times.
Yes.
We're so all or nothing. And so many high performers or high achievers are that way too. So we set this really lofty goal for ourselves. And there's almost this fear that paralyzes us from taking action, because if we never take action towards it, we've never failed.
Yeah.
And so there's almost this comfort zone. But if we make it so small, and this is where I emphasize across the board, like, baby steps. But when I say baby steps, I mean, like, you can tell how small I'm thinking here, right?
Yeah.
The client just was opening the door to the gym.
Yeah. Yeah.
It seemed mind-blowing, but now she's spending 15 minutes a day in there.
Yeah.
You build up into that. But if you come in and hot and say, I'm going to work out for 30 minutes 5 times a week, can't tell you how many times I've said that, written that down in a habit journal, wrote that down on my phone, track on a habit app, told my partner I was going to do that. Like, we've all set those, like, lofty goals for ourselves. So to take that tiny, tiny step is, like, the number one best recommendation I can make.
That's a perfect, to me, the perfect note to end on. You guys, just be easy on yourselves. Just set yourself up for success. Start small. Yeah. Do this with me. I'm going to be doing this. If y'all want to set an alarm on your phones and text me as well, or Sam,
yeah,
like, let's support each other. That's the whole point of why we're doing this, is so we can uplift each other and, you know, and make each other better. So, you know, that's
the self-compassion that comes with that. This all comes back. It's not about willpower or discipline or motivation. It's about our own self-worth. And about loving ourselves enough to take that tiny step. And it seems soft, but results come from that. And now look at us. We have a nationwide 2 p.m. dance party that I am so excited about.
Can't wait.
I know we're going to get people jumping on this train.
I sure hope so. I really hope so. Sam, thank you so much. This was really, we always go over because we just talk and talk and talk and we can't help ourselves. So I hope you guys listened to this whole thing and you were walking or, you know, cleaning or whatever while you listened. Sam, where can people, I'll be tagging you, but where can people find you?
On Instagram, Sam Humanly Well, and on my website, humanlywell.com. You can reach me on any of these two. I would love to have a conversation about habits, and see how we can support each other on this, or join our dance party. Now I'm real fired up about this. We got a 2 p.m. 2-minute dance party coming your way, so you guys should all be part of that.
People are like, if I have to hear Love on Top by Beyonce one more time.
Get out of your mind, Little John, whatever it is. We'll put it up. Send us some songs. We'll create a playlist for this 2 p.m. dance party.
Oh, God, that's a great idea. So it's oh my God, I have so many things to write down after this. All right, I gotta go, you guys. I have a lot to do today. It's Saturday.
It's so good. It's so good.
My love, thank you. This was great. You are wonderful. Thank you for all the gifts that you're bringing to our community. I'm so excited to continue to partner with you. You guys, check her out, please. She's amazing. Like, you've made my 2020 so much better, and I mean that. So that would be the same for all of you. I hope you guys enjoyed that. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day. Go start debunking your habits. Write them down and make some baby steps. And then if you have some questions and you want to dive in further, message Sam.
Love it.
All right, you guys.
And all you're doing to make this world a better place, my love. See you soon.
I appreciate that. Well, you guys, as always, give a damn about your community. Give a damn about your neighbor. But most importantly, give a damn about your damn self. Have a great day, you guys. Thank you, Sam.